Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. And we're going to turn to Job. The book of Job. Job was right before Psalms. If you open up your Bible and let it kind of fall to the middle there, you'll find Psalms. And then Job was right in front of that. Job chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses there. We're going to read a few verses in Job chapter 2 as well. But you're going to read most of Job, well, I think all of Job chapter 1. Again, appreciate you being here this morning. God bless you. Thank you for our visits. Come back and see us again. I really hope you'll make yourself at home. And you folks that are faithful, I sure do appreciate you. I really do. Job chapter 1. I heard something said the other day, and I've heard it before. I just felt like it was something that needed to be addressed. Not necessarily amongst our people. I didn't hear it actually from this congregation. But Bill's, your mom's here, Bill. Bless your heart. Miss Redinger, it's good to see you this morning. I hadn't seen you in a while. Blah, bless your heart. I just looked around, and there you were, hiding down there. Well, good to see you. God, the first time you've been out of church for, oh, my, how long? Several months, at least. Very good. So good to see you this morning. But there's something, a phrase that's been said, and in fact, many of us have probably thought it, but I felt like it's something we need to address. Job chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect," you could say mature, had grown up, he was settled in his faith. "The man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job?'" Notice who brought up Job as the topic of conversation. It was the Lord. "The Lord said unto Satan," verse 8, "'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, of upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught?'" You think he's doing this for and not getting anything out of it? "'Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder's brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Title of my message this morning is the question that I have been asked, or I've heard asked, and is this: where was God when this happened? Where was God when this happened? Let's pray. Father, we have a tough message this morning, but Lord, it's life. And Lord, we're supposed to, my job is to teach them all things, to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded us. To reprove, to encourage, to rebuke sometimes. And Lord, if this is taken the right way, this can be an encouragement. If it's taken the wrong way, some folks could struggle with this. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move. Thank you for who you are. You are our solid rock. Because of your greatness, because of your sovereignty, because of all that you are, we do have hope in you. So Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom, your understanding. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me read a verse in Proverbs 27, 5. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. In other words, if you're already full, you don't even want a bowl of ice cream. Now it is. But to a hungry soul, one who's hungry for truth, let's say it this way, every bitter thing is sweet. I'm probably going to wound you a little bit here this morning. But we've got to see, this is tough stuff, but we need to see these things. Probably every one of us have asked ourselves somewhere along the way, where was God? You read the newspaper, some tragedy happened. Where was God? You get a phone call. It's not what you want to hear. The thought is, where was God? I come across folks rather frequently that feel free to argue against the goodness and the fairness of God. Some are quite outspoken, while others say the same thing in a more subtle way. Yet what they say simply means that, well, I guess God's not all that he's cracked up to be. They live their lives as with anybody. There are tribulations and there's troubles, and they proceed to complain of God's lack of attention to their afflictions. Maybe they see some tragic event on the news or suffer some affliction themselves, and then they ask the disrespectful and presumptuous question, where was God when all this was happening? Our last verse of our chapter says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. If you were to look at Job chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. By this time, Satan had attacked his body. It was full of boils, and he would just take chips of broken pots and just try to scrape the wounds and get the infection out. And he said he sat himself down among the ashes. Verse 9 says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? And then it says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. So where was God when this was happening? What do you mean, where was God? He was in the same place he's always been, on the throne of the universe. As the sovereign, and we had better watch what we're saying. How dare we accuse God? Who are we to say such a thing? We would be better off to slap our hand over our mouths and keep it shut before saying something else just as ignorant and disrespectful. The fact is, I know we've all done this, but it's foolish. My goal was to make this short, like pulling a Band-Aid off or giving a shot. So if it goes too long, well, I hate to stretch it out over two messages, so I'm going to try my best to keep it short. We've been talking about hope in God. I want you to reason with me. We are talking about having a hope in God. Jesus, our hope. Watch. The fear of the Lord and your hope in the Lord goes hand in hand. If you don't think God is big enough for you to be careful how you speak about Him or how you speak to Him, then it's no surprise that you have no hope, because you have an awfully small God. If you have no fear of God, apparently you think you can take Him. Apparently He is even less than you are in your estimation. And so when you need hope, there is no place for you to go. If God is no greater than you, then there's no one bigger and tougher and smarter and more powerful than you are to go to. There's no one whom you can go for refuge. There's no reason to hope in God, because if God is less than you, and if you can't take care of the situation, then why should you have hope that God can take care of the situation if you think you can talk bad about Him right to His face? You see what I'm saying? No wonder people walk around in fear and distress and in a stupor of depression. I would too if my God was no greater than you give Him credit for. If you don't fear God enough to cast a thought out of your mind such as, where was God when, then you don't think much of God, and thus there's no reason to hope in God. No wonder we're cast down. On the other hand, I want to both warn you and assure you that God is not one to be mocked or tempted or belittled. God is gracious, and He may meet us in mercy in that we do not see immediate retribution when we sin. However, He will not chide with us forever. There will come a day of reckoning. He is still God. And I'm glad He's God. I just got to make sure I'm on His side. Let me give you number one. The question we tend to ask is, where was God? If God is so great, where was He when my life fell apart? Where was He when they repossessed my car? Where was He when I lost the house? Where was He when my health went bad? Where was He when my marriage fell apart? Where was He when my loved one died? Where was He when I lost my job? Where was He when disaster hit? Now, sometimes things happen that only God knows why it happened. God tries us from time to time. Psalm 66:10 says, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us, and Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Proverbs 17:3, "The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." Psalm 73, "Thou hast proved mine heart, Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." I'm not going to go there. Psalm 119:71 says, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes." Psalm 119:75, "I know, O Lord, that Thy faithfulness are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." I don't understand it, but I know that God's faithful. Job probably never knew on this side of eternity why things happened as they did, but he was not so foolish as to accuse God. That's what is said. You read that book all the way through, it just happens that the Lord heals him. He gives him a whole set of kids all over again. He has twice as many possessions as he had before. And it really never says, well, Job, I was trying to teach Satan a lesson. Or I was trying to encourage these people who are yet. He never said that. It just was. God used Job to teach Satan and the rest of us a lesson. Let me ask you this question. Could God find you faithful enough to use you? Maybe he has tried us. You know, when you try us, when you put the pressure on and you squeeze it a little tight, we find out what's on the inside. Grab a tube of toothpaste too hard. You find out what's on the inside. When you get squeezed, things don't go your way. When all of a sudden you come up to a wall, what comes out of you? That's what's inside. And sometimes God's trying us. I understand that. It says, though, in Job 2:10, it says, in all this did Job not sin with his lips. If you go to Job 27, verse 1, I'll just read it for you. Job 27:1, it says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Listen, we have no right to put God on the defendant's bench. Who are we as the pot to put the potter in his place? We wonder why God didn't hear us and allowed to have this tragic event in our lives. And you know what? We may never know. And it wasn't a thing that Job did that was wrong that brought it on. Sometimes that's the way it is. On the other hand, God has every right to ask us a few questions. We don't have a whole lot. We don't have a right to go asking, where were you, God? But he does have a right to ask us. It could be that we are the ones that are not listening. We think God wasn't listening. It could be that we are the ones who are not. If anyone has the right to ask why God, it was Job. And he was wise enough not to do it. Chances are, we're not as righteous as Job, and yet we accuse God. Could it be that we are the ones causing some of God's deafness? Hang tight with me. Could it be that we're some of the ones who are causing God's deafness in that we are blocking our own prayers? Could it be that we are the reason that God doesn't seem to be around when we need him? My second point is this. I told you this is hard this morning. You know, let me back up. We go along in our lives, we live our lives day by day by day by day by day, and everything's going just fine. Job, he says, God has just blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. You know, wonderful thing. We go along in our lives, and all of a sudden something out of the clear blue sky knocks us off our knees, knocks us off our feet. Never saw it coming, blindsided. And we say, where in the world was God? There's a good chance that maybe we are the ones who dropped the ball. My second point is this. Now hang tight. Where are you when the Word of God is proclaimed? So what does that have to do with it? Let me repeat it. Where are you when the Word of God is proclaimed? Look at Proverbs. You got Job. Then you got Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs 28:9. Look at it real quick. Folks, I want to help you here. I really do. Proverbs 28:9. Look what it says here. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That word turneth away means to turn off. It means to decline from. To depart. Well, just kind of leave it undone. But also has the idea of rebellion, revolt. But it means to go without, to be sour on. You know, you just don't want it. I grew up in a little Methodist church, and where we were, I always liked the music, but once the music was done, I'd sit in the pew, and it's just like I had a little volume control, and I just kind of turn it off. I didn't have a hearing aid or anything, but I was almost like that. I could just kind of block him out, and I sit there and wait for that thing to get done. Of course, I was 6, 7 years old, and we always sat in the second pew from the back. Boom, right there. And so I knew exactly what the preacher was going to do. We were going to sing the last hymn, and then they have a little postlude, and he'd go to the back, and from the back he'd give his benediction, his blessing, and then the organ would say it would play just a few things. As soon as that would stop, then the service was over. We'd all walk out the back and shake the preacher's hand on the way out the door. I was always kind of hanging right on the edge of the pew, waiting for things to get done. As soon as it was all done last night, boom, bang, oh, out the door I went. I mean, you couldn't get any faster. Because we boys, we had stuff to do out there in the woods behind the church, all kinds of stuff here at the church. We had stuff to do. I could just turn it off. Now watch me. We disregard what God is saying, but somehow we expect God to be listening to us. He that turneth away, turns off, does without, leaves it undone, turn away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. It's loathful. It's detestable. It's disgusting. That's what it means to be. Listen. We want God to listen to us, but we don't care if we listen to him. We don't care what God has to say to us, but we get indignant when God isn't listening to us. Where was he? Let me ask you. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Have you left your personal devotions undone? Are you reading your Bible through? Now many are. You don't have to read it through like that every day, every year, and all this kind of stuff. But are you doing something? There's a lot of folks who are doing that. That's great stuff. Have you declined from or become sour on Sunday school or church? You know, God has provided us an opportunity to hear the Word of God and have it spoon-fed to us if we need it. And we just tell God, thanks, but no thanks, I'll pass on it this time. Now, I know I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, and I'm not the most interesting, but I use a lot of Scripture. At least we ought to want to know what God has to say. We really do. It might be just one little nugget that you need for this week. In fact, if you open your heart to it, you'd be surprised. Listen, you know as well as I do, there's sometimes you go to church and hear a preacher preach, and what he preached had nothing to do with you. But on the other hand, it was a hymn, it was a verse, it was a quotation, it was something. I've even had a place where he looked at this scripture over here, and somehow it's like there's a neon light on this word over here, on this page over here, and that was what I needed. I needed to go to church for him to direct me to that page so I could see that. Not that what he was saying wasn't important, but that's what I needed that day. I don't know. It's the way God does it. In fact, and then he says, take the day off, spend it with me, and I'll provide your needs. Even if you do come, do you take the word of God to heart? Or do you just go through the motions? Do you do what I did? Turn it off. When you listen to the Word of God, do you do so with every intention of obeying it? Or do you listen with the intention to just kind of consider obeying if it sounds good? Sounds reasonable. Do you intend to observe to do it according to all that's written therein? Do you say, or do you say, one of these days I'm going to do that? I think I will, but you know, right now I'll just go without. Psalm 119:1. You ought to go back and read Psalm 119. The whole thing's about the Word of God. But Psalm 119:1 says this: Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect in all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned the righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. In other words, He says, I'm going to listen to Your word, and I know if I listen to You, You'll listen to me. Where was God when? Well, where were you, where were we when the word of God was proclaimed? Let me give you another one. Where are we in our personal life? And I'm going to use the word practical separation. I'm not sure that's the phrase I really want, but where are we in our personal life? Go back to Psalm 66. Psalm 66:16. The quicker you turn, the quicker we get out of here. So, you ever pull a band-aid off about halfway? And it's got a hold of one of those little hairs, you know what I mean? It just, dang, get that. Well, I'm afraid. We'll move as fast as we can here. Psalm 66:16. He says, Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. He said, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was lifted up. He was extolled with my tongue. Verse 18, what? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. You know what that means? Because He didn't regard the iniquity in His heart. He said, He hath heard me. He hath attended to my voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer nor His mercy from me. But verse 18 says, if I regard in my heart, that means, well, the word regard means to see and yet do nothing about it. To see it's there and yet do nothing about it. It's like that pile of dishes in the sink in the kitchen. You kind of walk by it, you see it, but you don't know anything about it. You see it. Y'all have some kids, you know, and their rooms look like, you know, a clothing store exploded. And there it is. They see it. They're looking for something to wear today. No, it's not that. No, that's it. And they do nothing about it. He says, if I see the sin in my life and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. Where was God? We know where He is. His eyes are go across the whole earth to and fro, seeking whom He can show Himself. Yeah, He wants to show Himself for us. Where were we when there was a sin that needed to be confessed? Are you living as pure as you know and confessing your sin and forsaking them when your sins come to your attention? Are you? Where were you when you needed to confess that sin? We wonder where God is. Maybe He was right there, but we missed out on His blessing because of unconfessed sin in our life. Isaiah 59:1 says this, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy, that He cannot hear. Isaiah 59:2 says, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now, you're not going to get everything straight. He's not expecting you to have everything lined up perfectly. We're all growing. But if you see it and you don't pay any attention to it, then, you know, that's a different story. He says, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies. Maybe just little white lies. No, they're all dark. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Anything other than what God would tell us? He says, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, and they bring forth iniquity. In other words, they just live their lives as they please, and they give little thought to how God would want things done. Where was God? Well, where was God when His word was proclaimed? Where was God when we should have been confessing our sins? Where were we when we should have been confessing our sins? Let me give another one. Where were we when we should have been praying? Where was God when this happened? Well, where were you? Where were you when we should have been praying? God, you say, well, God didn't hear my prayer. Well, maybe God didn't hear your prayer because you didn't really pray. You thought about it. But just like the Pharisee who prayed thus with himself rather than the publican who smote his breast and said, I'm not worthy to talk to you here. Did you bow your head and your heart? Did you really pray? Or did you just mention it when you were saying grace? Just kind of threw it in on the side. You know as well as I do, there's an awful lot of times we'll say, I'll pray for you, and that doesn't mean a thing. What it means is I'll think about it. I'll think about your problem. Often hear politicians say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to say, to who? We always threw God out. Who are we praying to? We don't have time for God in our life. I saw this in the newspaper. I was going to say a little something about it earlier when we talked about when it's preached. Did you see this? It was Thursday, February 4th, 2 days after my grandbaby was born. She's a groundhog baby. Isn't that awful? February 2nd, exactly to the day, 7 months from our other grandbaby. It's to the day, 7 months. So I hate to say this. I'll be able to remember this because she's a groundhog baby and 7 months before Juliet was born. I'm sorry, but I know that's the way my brain works. Anyway, here was in the newspaper here. Fit church into your schedule. Now think about that. Fit church into your schedule. Maybe we ought to decide what His schedule is and fit our lives into His schedule. If He's going to be there, I want to be there. There was an article. I don't know what day it was here. Right here at the end of the week. Some lady's a great Peyton Manning fan. You know who I'm talking about? Peyton Manning. She's a big fan. And so she wanted to make sure she was going to be at a certain place where he was going to be so she could. She wanted to get her picture taken. She wanted to be known as being right next to Peyton Manning. So she was going to change her schedule so she could be there. Now that's fine. You're a big fan. I'm not arguing. We should be as much, if not more so, a fan of God. God's going to show up and I want to be there. I want to hear what He has to say. I'm a big intellectual guy here. Pearls before swine. Are you religious? When it's convenient. What does that mean? When I want to judge others or I fear impending death. Oh, that's called opportunism. Then I'm its patron saint. I'm religious when it's to my benefit. We pray when it's our benefit. Are you, what's keeping our prayer? Well, if I garner iniquity in my heart, it won't hear me. If I ask according to His will, are you asking according to His will? John 5:14 says, and if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Are you obeying His commandments? 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive Him because we keep His commandments. And do those things that are pleasing. You know what that means? I'm listening to Him. I'm hearing His word. He's hearing mine. How about this one? are your crossways with your spouse? 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Maybe we should have been praying ahead of time. Where was God? Maybe we should have been praying ahead. Maybe if we had maintained our prayer life with God, none of this would have happened. We don't know. Do you pray ahead of time, or do you just pray when something comes up that you think you can't handle? Oh, we can't handle anything. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Constant living in dependence upon him. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this, and Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where was God? Where were we when we should have been praying? Let me give you one more. Where were we when someone needed to stand up for Jesus? Now you might say, what? Where were we when someone needed to stand up for Jesus? See, we want him to hear our prayer, but we're not so sure we want to hear his. What he has to say. Watch. To just speak the words, where was God when? That in enough in itself is to fail to stand up for Jesus. In fact, we are giving him a bad name. Then we wonder why he isn't going out of his way to show himself strong on our behalf. Look at Matthew 10, real quick. The Band-Aid's two-thirds off. All right. Hang tight with me. I know it's pulling on that hair right now. It's hurting. Matthew 10:24. The question is, where was God when? And my question is, where were we when the Word of God was being proclaimed? Where were we when we should have been confessing sins? Where were we when we should have been praying? Now, where are we when someone needs to stand up for the Lord? Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and a servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid and shall not be known. In other words, this will all come out in the wash one of these days. Don't worry about it. This is not the end of the deal here. Verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But fear him, we're talking about Lord here, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If we fear him, we wouldn't be saying, where was God? Where was God? I did this church thing, it didn't work. Where was he? If you feared him, you wouldn't be doing that. Look at verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? You see, the problem is we think he doesn't care. God doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about me. Look what he did. You tell me, so you're saying God didn't care about Job? Sure he did. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Now watch this. Whosoever, therefore, talking about in times of issues, problems, issues, and so forth, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Where were we when someone had bad-mouthed the Lord or bad-mouthed his church? We want God to stick up for us, but we're not willing to stick up for God. Think about how far he had to condescend to stick up for us. He's ever interceding for us before the throne of God. For a stinking, dirty sinner like Sterling Walsh, he says, I died and I paid for him. Why do we think we're doing some great deed or some great favor to stick up for the sovereign of the universe who gave his life for us? Where were we when someone needed to be given the gospel when we turned and walked away? So you deny, well, I don't want to, you know. You deny me before others, he'll deny us before the Father. You confess me before men, he'll confess us before the Father. What if you went down to the mall and your spouse very conveniently worded some phrases to some friends that basically denied you as being their spouse, as if they were ashamed of you? How would you feel? You want to go, ladies, you'd want to go home and make him his favorite dinner, wouldn't you? No, you're going to make his bed on the sofa. No, you're not going to do that. You're not even going to get the pillow out. You're just going to say, sit here. No. Listen, we deny him, and then we turn right around and say, where was he? Well, if he just do something, I'd let him be my God. I mean, that's really what we're saying. So here we go. So where was God? The same place he's always been. Fact is, book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Still there. Bless the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. You know, you've heard me say it over and over again. We can observe to do according to all that's written in his word and be blessed, or we can live according to our own rules and be like the chaff that's blown away in the wind. We can want to live by our rules, but the fact is we're not in charge. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So God, go back to Job now. We're almost done. Go back to Job and look at verse 38. Chapter 38. Job 38. I love this. Job 38. God says, we say, where was God? Well, look at chapter 38 of Job. Job's Psalm Proverbs. Found it? Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What's he saying there? He says, really what he's saying is you're putting your mouth in gear before you put your brain in gear. And you're saying a bunch of things you don't understand. You're confusing yourself. You're not. Go back and look at truth. Verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man. He said, you know what he's saying? All right, put your big boy pants on. We're gonna go down where the rubber meets the road here. Put your big boy pants on here. You ready? You've been wondering where I am. I know you didn't say anything, but you've been wondering where I am. And God says, I'm going to show you where I am. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Look at verse 4. Where was thou? Where was God? Well, where were you? Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Tell me. Come on. Where were you? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon? Who did the survey work and laid this all the universe out? Was that you, Sterling? Was that you? Well, no, it wasn't me. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? How's this world just kind of hang here in the middle of everywhere? How'd you got that figured out, Sterling? Huh? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? And when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto thou shalt thou come, but no further, and thou shalt thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Is it turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as garment, and from the wicked they light is the, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken? You got to go back and kind of catch all the poetic phrases here. Verse 17, have the gates of death been opened unto thee, Sterling, or Job? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest. Come on, tell me. Tell me here. Tell me. Where was God? Tell me, where were you? 19. Where is the way where the light dwelleth? And as far darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it? Because wast thou born? Or because the number of the days is so great. Okay, you're old. You're so old and wise. Tell me. We love to tell God what truth is. We don't want to let him tell us. And he says, okay, tell me. Come on. Verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light departed, which scatters the east wind from the earth? Who hath divided the watercourse for the overflowing of the water, away for the lightning thunder, to cause it to rain in the earth where no man is, or the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate, to waste the ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew, out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? And the waters are hid as with a stone to face the deepest. It goes on and on and on. Says, okay, big shot. Put your big boy pants on here. Where were you? So I don't understand. I mean, I didn't like what happened there. I know. But it says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You don't have any idea. Who are you? Who are we to say, where were you, God? Our whole duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. And yet we dare say, I wonder where he was when all this happened. You know what our first thought is? Should be? I don't understand it, but God knows. I'm not making light of the hurt. I'm not making light of the affliction. I'm saying, who are we? He's saying, the Lord's saying, who are you? Who are we? Look at chapter 40, verse 1. Job 40, look at it. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Are you trying to teach God what right is? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord. And this should be our response. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. I'm shutting up. He says, once have I spoken, but I will not answer the yea. Twice, but I will proceed no further. He said, I opened up once, I'm not going there again. My soul, what in the world was I thinking? God is God, I'm not God. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, okay, put your big boy pants on one more time. Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? In other words, do you think I was wrong? Do you think I was wrong? Wilt thou condemn me? What are you going to do? You're going to do the right thing and judge God and send him to hell? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to send God to hell for what he did? We forget who God is and who we are. Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Now, this is a principle that we would all do well to heed. This principle works for, watch, I can't get into all this, but it works for whole nations and people groups which have turned off the Word of God over the generations. And if we're not careful, it's going to happen to America. I'm not saying that we should be cold or even glad that nations have seen terrible things happen. What I am saying is that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. We know that. And God in His mercy has given them time and they would not come to Him, and we think that these disasters just come out of nowhere. They didn't just spring up out of nowhere. Read the Old Testament over and over. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but He will not fight with us forever. Where was God? Well, where have we been? 9 times out of 10, a person who asks this question is the same person who will somehow find an excuse not to read his Bible, somehow find an excuse not to go to church, somehow, well, listen, or why Sunday school is just going to, that Sunday school is just going to have to wait, the thing of the past. If they say such things about God, imagine what perverseness comes out of their mouths about others. It's amazing. They are the ones that want God to stick up for them, but they don't want to push Jesus on others. By mentioning His name, they deny Him. There needs to be a reality check. Where was God? I know where He was. He was on His throne. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Why are we having the terrible things that happen? Warring in our lives, so to speak. Where are we when the commands of God are being presented? If you are there where it's being presented, are you turning it off or are you listening? Where were you when sins needed to be confessed and forsaken? Where were you when it was prayer time? Where were you when someone should have been standing up for Jesus? I know where God was. Where were we? Father, speak to us here. Thank You for speaking to our hearts. Tough, tough, tough message this morning. Now, Lord, I pray that You'll be with us. Our heads are bowed.